shouldn't have done that. Tonight's message is entitled The Lord of the Ordinary. And our reading is John 21, verses 1 to 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat for that night, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did that, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard it, he said, "It is the Lord." And he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, here we are, a short time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the other events of Easter week. Things have begun to go back to normal and life is going on just as it always has. And it's just the same with the disciples of Jesus after that traumatic week. Jesus had made various appearances to his disciples over the course of a couple of weeks or so, and then he disappeared. And the disciples gradually dispersed and went back to that which was familiar to them. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were still all together. They were most probably feeling confused and despondent as they waited for whatever would happen next. The ever impetuous Peter decides that instead of just waiting around, he's going out to fish. That's his trade, that's what he knows how best to do, and it's better than just sitting around feeling miserable. The others decide to join him, they get the boats ready, and they go out on the lake to catch the fish. They go out at night time, which is the best time for fishing, but after a whole night's fishing, they've not caught anything, and the discouraged and tired men approach the shore with their empty boat. We can all imagine how they felt. Nothing seems to be going right. Their expectations of Jesus seem to have failed, and to cap it all, they can't even catch fish. And as they draw near to the shore, there in the pale early morning light, they see a stranger there. And the stranger asks them, "Haven't you caught any fish?" And I can imagine that Peter, rather sarcastically, replies through gritted teeth, "No." The stranger tells them to cast their nets over the other side, and as they do, they catch an enormous number of fish. So many they couldn't get them in the boat and had to tow the nets behind them as they approached the shore. Then, and only then, John recognised the stranger as Jesus, and the impetuous Peter jumped into the lake to get to Jesus as soon as he can. It would be easy to wonder what on earth was wrong with the disciples on the early morning in Galilee. Jesus had told them that he would meet them there, and when he does appear to them, they totally fail to recognise him. But before we criticize the disciples for their lack of awareness, let's look to ourselves. I believe that most of us are very much like those first disciples in that not only do we share their virtues, we also share their flaws. Like them, we too have difficulty in recognizing the risen Lord. It seems that, like Peter and James and all the rest, we're all too often caught out by the presence of Christ in our midst. We have difficulty in appreciating the fact that he is amongst us. Then, when we do realize it, just like them, we find it difficult convincing our brothers and sisters in the Lord that he really is here with us, and that he has appeared and spoken to us. I mean, just think of some of the resurrection appearances for a minute. Let's think about how different followers of Jesus failed to recognize him for some time. Think about how, when they did finally cotton on, how difficult it was for them to get others to believe that they'd actually met him, and that they had at long last recognized him. Take, for example, the disciples refused to believe Mary Magdalene when she told them on that first Sunday morning that Jesus had appeared to her in the garden, outside the tomb that he was buried in. In fact, she herself for a short time thought she'd only met the gardener. And again, the two disciples who took the road to Emmaus, and during that long walk from Jerusalem, spent most of the day talking with Jesus without recognizing him. In fact, it wasn't until they were at supper, when he blessed the bread and broke the bread, that they finally realized who they were with. And then, of course, there is the story from today's reading. Although Jesus had already been with the disciples on two separate occasions in the upper room, they still failed to recognize him when they were fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. And he comes to the shore and calls them to let their nets down on the other side of the boat. Why is it that the disciples didn't seem to recognize Jesus, or at least not straight away? And why is it that they refused to believe other people when they claim to have met Jesus? I don't think it's enough to say that the disciples were a bit slow on the uptake, although evidence might tempt us to say so, because we too can be like the disciples and lose sight of Jesus. You might think that this is rather a challenging statement, and it most certainly is, but it's true for a great many of us. For how many of us, as we go about our daily lives, think about Jesus and he's not at the forefront of our minds? As we go about our business the same as we always have, and in the same way that most of our companions do, Jesus is at the back of our minds. I think that the reason the disciples didn't recognize Jesus in their midst, and the reason that we ourselves don't recognize Jesus in our lives, is that we don't expect to see him. Or if we do expect to see him, we expect to see him only in certain kinds of places and not in others. We expect to meet him in church, don't we? We expect to meet him at some special and sacred place. We may even expect him when we're in prayer in our quiet times. But we don't expect to meet him when we're out shopping. We don't associate Morrisons and Tesco with meeting Jesus. We don't expect to meet him at work. We don't expect to meet him as we drive around or as we walk through the town or village. After all, Jesus doesn't hang around in traffic jams and associate himself with areas that are dirty and dingy and crowded. I mean, surely God is only to be found in the lonely places, the beautiful places. Many people feel that God is to be found, and Christ is to be found, only in the special places, in places where there's stained glass and high ceilings and a special kind of quiet, or out in the woods, or by the lakes, where the birds call and the splashing chatter of the waterfowl still a person's heart. But where do you find the risen Christ? Where do you sense that God is? Where do you go to hear his voice speaking inside you and feel his presence comforting you and giving you renewed strength for the mission he called you to? We all need special places to go, places of quiet and of peace, where we can meditate and pray and think about it, what it is that God is asking of us. Places where we find, without too much difficulty, our God present with us. We need this, but if we settle only for this, then think that we can only meet God in these places, we'll end up with a very poor faith. We'll end up missing the presence of Christ in all the other places where he is. And that's sad, because if we miss Christ in the ordinary places in our lives, then we also miss all that he can teach us and all that he can do in us and through us there. So where do you find God? Where do you encounter Christ? Think of where Jesus was found after the resurrection. He was found in a cemetery garden. He was found in a room that was locked up tight, a room in which a group of men and women hid in fear for their lives. He was discovered on a dusty road outside the city and by the seashore, cooking and serving meals of bread and fish. We might think that some of these locations were special places, but is it really only our thinking that makes them so? Or rather, is it the presence of Christ there in those ordinary places that makes them special? Consider too where Jesus was to be found before the resurrection. He was at a wedding. He was out in a fishing boat. He was at a neighbour's house and in the village marketplace. He was found in the temple teaching. He was at a well talking to a Samaritan woman, and in many other places and with many other types of people. Jesus went everywhere and avoided no one. And because of this fact, some people said before he was crucified, he could not possibly be the Messiah. He couldn't be the Holy One, because he was found in places where holy people wouldn't go. And they missed recognizing Jesus, and they missed the salvation he offered them, because they didn't expect the Saviour to be found anywhere other than the special places they decided in their own minds was the right kind of place. How strange and tragic it would be if we who believe in him as the risen Lord end up missing his presence because we too think he's only to be found in special places. But God is everywhere, and our risen Lord is everywhere. His Spirit is all around us, and if we pay just a little bit of special attention, we can see him and talk with him and serve him and be served by him in all those places, even today. The ordinary becomes sacred when we're willing and able to see God dwelling in it, and when we're willing and able to allow God to transform it. When you think about it for a moment, that's what the church building is all about. To those without faith, it's nothing but bricks and mortar and glass. It's a building like any other, just ordinary. But for those here today, the ordinary building is a sacred place. Not only do we meet and serve God here, but in it God meets and serves us, making us stronger and more at peace than the world around us. The ordinary becomes sacred because we meet God in it. The disciples were only a little bit slow in recognizing Jesus. Ultimately, they identified him in and through all the things that he did in their presence. He showed them where to catch fish. He helped them to get their living, and they recognized him and thanked him. He broke bread with them, and they recognized him and were strengthened by him. He healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. They identified him and confessed with him as Lord. He taught with authority and commanded evil spirits to depart, and they acknowledged that God was working amongst them. He loved the unlovable and forgave those who sinned, and they saw that God was working a salvation in their midst. Christ is here today in this place, and Christ will be with you when you leave, and Christ will appear to you as you go about and talk and work with the people around you. But this is a test of our faith. Excuse me. Will you see him wherever you go? Will you hear him calling to you in the words of the hungry and the lonely, and see him working in the actions of the healers and the teachers? Will you be in touch with him as you make your living each day and break your bread at each evening meal? Will you see him in the community room next door with the mothers and toddlers, the slimming world, the coffee morning, and other events that's held in there? Will you see him in every one of us singing our choruses and praises to him? Will you see him in everyone who prays aloud and everyone who doesn't pray aloud? Will you see him in the children playing even during the service? Jesus Christ is everywhere, in every situation, and not only in the sacred places and religious meetings. Or will most of Christ's ministering and loving presence be lost on you because to you, those people are ordinary people, those events are ordinary events, and those activities, ordinary activities? The disciples were a bit slow in recognizing the risen Christ because they didn't think he would appear to them, and especially not there at the lake that morning. We're like them in our flaws, but we're also like them in our virtues. And our virtues can, like those of the disciples, increase day by day if, like them, we remember to seek the risen Lord and to serve him in all the things we do, in both those things we regard as ordinary and those we regard as special. Look for him. He's always just there. After all, he is the Lord of the ordinary as well as the sacred. Amen.